Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. After saying this, the Lord left to take His bath in the Ganges. And that sinful man did not give up his life, but continued to suffer. In the purport, it appears that an offender to a Vaishnav continues to suffer and does not give up his life. We have actually seen that a great Vaishnav Aparadi continuously suffered so much that it was difficult for him to move, and yet he did not die. Eta boli gela prabhu kariti ganga snana se papi dukha bogi na jaya parana. After seeing this, the Lord left to take His bath in the Ganges, and that sinful man did not give up his life but continued to suffer. Om agyana tamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobistang stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam bande hung shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavangscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raganatanvitangs tang sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Tapta Kanchana Mastati Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brindavanishvari Brishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanam Pavaribhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all for coming. I think you'd rather be listening to Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. He was originally scheduled to give class, unfortunately unable to do so. So I will try my best. Please give me your blessings. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So it's a short purport. 2 weeks ago I gave a class, and it was a similar topic, so I might say some similar things as last time. What I find interesting about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the interesting things is that we see there's two opposing factors at play, and I'll explain what they are. On the one hand, patra patra vichara nahi nahi stana stana, the Lord did not distinguish who was fit recipient and who was not a fit recipient. And then on the other hand, there is the grave offense of Vaishnava Aparad. So what happens when someone is a Vaishnava Aparadi? Does the Lord's magnanimity mean He will just give them mercy? Or does He withdraw? Well, we see in this example, He withdrew. Now, sometimes the Lord gives mercy to the Aparadis and sometimes He doesn't. One of the categories of personality that the Lord came to deliver was the Nindaka, which means a blasphemer. And actually, Prakashananda Saraswati is counted as a Nindaka, a blasphemer. So the Lord, He's come to deliver the blasphemers. But then when people blaspheme the Lord's devotees, the Lord, He changes, right? We have the example of Jagaya Madai. So when Madai struck Lord Nityananda on the head, then the Lord's, where was the Lord's mercy? He was ready to cut off his head with the Shurasan Chakra. And then Lord Nityananda intervened. But we see in this example, this is an offense to the devotee. And in this example, this is an offense to the devotee, Srivas. Gopal Chakravarti, another example, he blasphemed Haridas Thakur, another offense to the devotee. So when the devotee is offended or is blasphemed, the Lord does not tolerate, even though he's Vedanya avatar, magnanimous. So this is a lesson to us about the severity of Vaishnava Aparad. But as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, Amoga is an example of someone who blasphemed but the Lord gave mercy. But if you think about it, there's a difference. Amoga, his blasphemy was to Krishna or to Lord Chaitanya. He criticized him, said, "You're eating too much." Now, at that time, the devotees, they could not tolerate. But Lord Chaitanya himself, he placed his hand on Amoga's chest. You know, he said, why have you allowed the chandala of jealousy to reside in your pure heart? And he gave him Krishna Prema. And then Amoga, he slapped his face because he started repenting. He was in ecstasy and he was slapping himself. He said, my mouth has blasphemed. And his cheeks were swelling up. And then Gopinath Acharya, he grabbed him and stopped him from hitting himself. So it's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakta Swabhav Agya Dosh Kshama Kori, Krishna Swabhav Bhakta Ninda Saiti Napari. It is the nature of the devotee to forgive offences, but it's the nature of the Lord to never forgive the offence to his devotee. Very serious. So actually, I was reflecting on the nature of this offence. If anyone doesn't know, the background is that this Gopal Chapala, he put the paraphernalia for Bhavani Puja on the doorstep of Srivas Thakur's house to make him look like he was worshipping Bhavani. I was thinking the reaction is very severe. Now, this is Gopal Chapal. The reaction is so severe that he's in a fate worse than death. We have this saying, you know, it's a fate worse than death because he's suffering so much, it would be better if he died. But still, he's not dying. So he's been tortured that he can't even die. It's like in the hellish planets. The hellish planets, suffering takes place on the subtle platform. So you can be tortured to the point of death, but you don't die because you have a subtle body, you don't have a gross body. So we have this punishment, for example, you can be thrown off a cliff and then taken up to the top and thrown off again. I mean, how bad does it get? That's what's happened. If you have a gross material body, there's only so much you can suffer. Now, Prabhupada in the purport, he refers to some aparadi who was suffering so much that he couldn't even move, but he would not die. I don't know who's referring to. Anyone know? I know there's some things. I remember Prabhupada once talked about a Mayavadi who lost the power of speech. And he said the reason he lost his power of speech is because he was speaking Mayavad philosophy. But I can't remember who that person was. He also actually, interesting, Prabhupada said that Winston Churchill was very sinful, he said. So he was in a coma before he died. So the people who die, who go into a coma before they die, that's often a sign that they're very sinful. Now, if a devotee goes into a coma, it's not necessarily that, doesn't mean that, because Prabhupada says, even if one is unconscious at the time of death, which is not what we want to be, we want to be conscious and thinking of Krishna at the time of death, but even if one is unconscious, Gaur Nitai, by their mercy, they will enter into the consciousness of the person. So if someone's in a coma, if a Vaishnava's in a coma and dies in a coma, it doesn't necessarily mean they're sinful. It may do, but it may not. Anyway, so Winston Churchill, what was his crime? Actually, one of the things he did, he starved the people of Bengal. Now, it was during the war. The British had this policy, they sunk all the ships that were coming in with rice. They stopped rice, the transportation of rice, and they caused an artificial famine in Bengal. And then they told the Bengali people, you know, if you want to eat, then join the army, join the British army and fight. So that was a terrible time, and a lot of Vaishnavas had nothing to eat. You see pictures of, I think, Jagannath Puri in Bengal. There was these Vaishnavas who were like skin and bone. It was quite severe. Anyway, war is a difficult time. Winston Churchill, I mean, he sacrificed many British soldiers. They would do false attacks. You know, he knew you would be defeated, but it was just to make the Germans think, oh, they're trying to invade at this point, and then another group would invade from a different point. I mean, war's a dirty time. But Winston Churchill, in the estimation of Srila Prabhupada, he was very sinful. So he was in a coma before he died. Anyway, we were discussing the nature of the offence, Bhavani Puja. And I was reflecting, you know, it's sometimes in our society we have this discussion, should we call ourselves Hindus or not, right? Everyone's heard it, right? Sometimes I think it's a very good idea. For example, if the government's going to give you lots of money to build a Hindu school and you're going to teach Gaudiya Vaishnavism, then where's the problem? Or if schools are looking for someone to teach them Hinduism. Why not? If we don't teach them Hinduism, someone else will. And what are they going to teach? I went to the school where my son goes, and there was a little bit about Hinduism on the wall. They said, Lord Brahma is God. It's one of their teachings. And where do they get that from? Anyway, there's so many things going on in the name of Hinduism. But sometimes, obviously, we don't want to be Hindus. Here's an example. Bhavani Puja, it's a branch of Hinduism. So here's Gopal Chaffal. He's presenting to the world, look, Srivas Thakur is worshipping Bhavani. He has his wine, paraphernalia. Now that's a branch of Hinduism. So if you call yourself a Hindu and someone thinks, associates Hinduism with that, just think of it's very bad for the reputation of the Hare Krishna movement. So we have to know when to use a term and when not to. I remember one devotee, he put it on the internet. There was once on a British newspaper that is an article about Hinduism, but it's actually all about killing goats. So he pointed out, you know, are we Hindus? You know, he's making the point, if you call yourself a Hindu, people think you kill goats. That's the very term Hinduism. At the time, the British were trying to dismantle Vedic culture. That was a time when all the various groups got together and decided we need to repel this imperialism. So they had to give themselves a name. And then there was discussion what to call themselves. The Arya Samaj, they were going to use the term Aryans. They actually didn't like the term Hindu at all. They said, it's not even a Vedic term, which is true. It's not in the Bhagavad Gita. But anyway, for some reason, the term Hindu stuck. So we're stuck with the term, and, well, we can make the most of it. One thing we can do is educate people about the Hare Krishna branch of Hinduism, because the more Hare Krishnas there are, the more people associate Hinduism with Hare Krishna, and that's not a bad thing. It's what you associate the word Hindu means. I mean, what does it mean, right? Anyway, we see the great offense, which I think is not really a big offense, to present someone as a worshipper of Bhavani. It doesn't look like such a big deal. It's all one, right? Some people think this way. It's all one. But obviously, the Vaishnavs were very, very particular that they didn't want to be associated with this aspect of Hinduism, Bhavani Puja, which is the dark side. It's tantric. So it says in the scripture, say, Tamasi Ma Jyotir Gama. Give up the darkness, go to the light. Or in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. Transcend the Vedas. Here, I said the word Hindu doesn't appear in the Bhagavad Gita, but it's implied by the word Veda. Gopis, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they said the gopis, they gave up Veda Dharma. They gave up their chastity to be with Krishna. It's Veda Dharma. The Bhagavad Gita says, Ivam Trai Dharma Anuprapana Gatagatam Kamakamalabhante. If you follow Trai Dharma, which is the Vedas, Trai means the Vedas, the Atharva Veda is the bit left over. So the Vedas, there's three Vedas. And the bit left over, the fourth Veda, is called the Atharva. So Trai means the three Vedas, which is the main portion. If you follow Trai Dharma, Gata Gata Sun, which literally means your life here comes and goes. It means you take birth, and then you leave your body, you take birth, you leave your body. The cycle of birth and death for those who follow Trai Dharma. So Krishna is over and over again telling Arjuna, we don't want that branch of Hinduism. We want the pure branch, the Navritti Marg. So it says in the scripture, Pravrittir Esha Bhutanam Navrittis Tu Mahapala. The general tendency is Pravritti, which means you like your alcohol, so you do sacrificial worship with alcohol, eat meat. You do all these religious things, quote unquote, but you're actually just gratifying your senses. This is the kite of a dharma, and that's called Pravritti. Then Navrittir Esha, so Navrittis Tu Mahapala. The ultimate fruit is the Nivritti Marg, which means you go transcend this world altogether, go beyond the world of birth and death, and take eternal shelter with Krishna. And how do we do that? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll tell you a story. Some of you may know this one. It's from Bhakti Ratnakara. And it's very interesting because it emphasizes the importance or the dangers of Vaishnava Parad. And even one can unknowingly offend a Vaishnava that is detrimental to one's spiritual life. So I've heard various versions of the story. On the Veda base, I'll give you the version. The story is that one time Rupa Goswami was in meditation. He was thinking of Radha Krishna pastimes, and he was visualizing, or he was seen by the mercy of the Lord, that Radharani was there, and she was being decorated by her sakis. And Krishna was behind Radharani watching. Now the sakis, they could see, but Radharani couldn't see. So the sakis decided they want Radharani to know that Krishna's there. So they held up a mirror. So Radharani looks in the mirror, sees her face, and then she sees Krishna's face. So when Rupa Goswami is meditating on this, he starts to laugh. But just at that moment, a Vaishnava approached to speak to Rupa Goswami, and the Vaishnava thought, Rupa Goswami's laughing at me. And his heart was broken. So he went to Sanatana Goswami. He said, Rupa Goswami's laughing. Sanatana Goswami understood. He said, he was in meditation. He wasn't laughing at you. This Vaishnava was very repentant. So he went to seek Rupa Goswami. But at the same time, Rupa Goswami's ecstasy was interrupted. And he was thinking to himself, I must have offended someone. I've lost my ecstasy. I can't enter into the Lord's pastime anymore. At that time, the Vaishnava came. He fell at Rupa Goswami's feet and begged forgiveness. He said, I misjudged you. I thought you were laughing at me, and he apologized. At which point, Rupa Goswami, he then fell down at the feet of this Vaishnava, and he apologized, said, I've offended you. I laughed when you were there. And in this way, they both apologized, and everything was back to normal again. But it's a very interesting pastime from the point of view that there was no fault on the part of Rupa Goswami. But that's a pastime to educate us that even if you unknowingly commit an offense, you can lose your taste. So here's the question. If you do it unknowingly, how do you not do it? Well, you can't avoid it. It might happen. But we always have our pranams. Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhivacha patitanam pavani bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namaha. In the morning, when you say this prayer, you can think, I offer my obeisances to anyone that I have unknowingly offended. Another thing you can do is feed the Vaishnavas. If you regularly feed Vaishnavas, that's a good way to counteract offences. But if you knowingly commit an offence, what should you do? There's only one thing you can do. Haristani aparadi, nahi tari harinam, tomastani aparadi, nahi paritran. An offence to Krishna can be nullified by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but an offence to the devotee cannot be nullified by chanting Hare Krishna. So what should you do? What is the remedy if you knowingly offend a Vaishnava? Go to them, yes. And you beg forgiveness. You fall at their feet, you beg forgiveness. What do you do if they don't forgive you? You serve them. You try your best to please them by serving them. What do you do if they're still not pleased? This is all explained in Madhurya Kadambini. If they're still not pleased, then you can take shelter of the holy name and just repent. And you say, I'm an offender. I've not been forgiven. My only shelter is the holy name. You do that. But there's a warning here. You do not think, never think, oh, I will not approach the Vaishnav. I will simply chant because by chanting I will remedy my offense. The holy name will deliver me. It's a nama parad. Vaishnava parad is a nama parad. If you think this way, that is considered another offense to the holy name. Which offense is it? Number 7. Someone said number 7? Yeah. Namno balajasya hi papabudir na vijate tasya yamaya hi sudi. One commits offenses on the strength of the holy name. That is a great aparad. Which is the greatest aparad of all the 10 nama parads? The first one, yeah. In the Sanskrit, it's the first one. It's called the paramam aparad. Although sometimes it's said that to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name is the greatest. different answers. I've also seen disobeying the order of the spiritual master to be the greatest. And also to be inattentive, that is in the Harinam Chintamani, that is said to be the root of all of them. All the other offenses come from just being inattentive. So in a sense, that is the most severe, or it's the most problematic, because it's the source of all of them. So the mind is very tricky. So rather than surrender, rather than apologize, we decide, I'll just take shelter of the holy name. It doesn't work. This is committing sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. Another way the mind rationalizes, we may think, the person's not a Vaishnav. You know, we see so many faults. I criticize them, but they're not a proper Vaishnav. They don't have the 26 qualities of a Vaishnav. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur warns us that we should not think this way. Even if a Vaishnav is cruel, is hypocritical, is not following nicely, still a Vaishnav. So we can't use that as an excuse. Another excuse we may have, we may decide, this Vaishnav is so advanced that they won't take offense anyway. So they haven't taken offense. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti, he warns, he said, no, they will not take offense. And we know in this example, Srivas did not take offense, but the followers will take offense. So then you have, it's even worse. You know, you've offended the followers of a great devotee. The great devotee is not taking offense, but his followers have. And now you have to take that reaction. There's an interesting pastime when Sati is very angry with her father. There's an interesting verse in the fourth canto in this regard. It's Nascharyam itajyat atsatsu sarvada mahadvananda kunapatmavadishu sersham mahapurusha padapamshubih nirasta tejasu tad eva shobanam. Said, she's speaking to Daksha. She says, those who are kunapatmavadis, interesting term, means one who identifies with the body. Such people, it is no surprise that they are envious of exalted people. But then she says, but that envy is good. What does it mean? The verse explains why. This is an interesting thing. Why is it the envy to a Vaishnava a good thing? Nirasta tejasu, because by that envy they fall down. Someone has an envious mentality, their envy will push them down, they'll fall down. Therefore, tadeva shobanam is a good thing. Shishi Radhago Kulananda Ki Jai. So this is trying to understand the Vaishnavs. There's certain aspects of our Vaishnav philosophy and thinking which are difficult to understand. So here's one of them. It is good. The envy is good. The reason why? Because it brings the downfall of the person. It's not that the envy is good, but the result of their envy is good. The consequences, they fall. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, he says, the Vaishnava may forgive, but Krishna does not forgive the offense to the dust of the feet of that Vaishnava. Pada pamshubi. There's a term in Sanskrit. Pada pamshubi means by the dust of, or it's maha purusha, pada pamshubi. By the dust of the maha purusha, the aparadi falls down. And Prabhupada also explains, mahiyasam pada rajo bishekam. The dust of the lotus feet is very, very beneficial because you cannot take shelter of Krishna without that dust. But it all depends on the recipient. So he gives the example, the scorching sun may cause some flowers and vegetables to grow, it may cause others to wither. It just depends on the recipient. So in the same way, the dust of the pure devotee will be the downfall of those who are envious, and it will uplift those that are pure or not envious. So the Vaishnavas are very powerful, they're very humble, they see themselves as the lowest of the lowest. You know, jaga madai hoiti moi se papista, purishira kita hoiti moi se lagishta. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai, and I'm more fallen than the worm and stool. But actually, these people are the most exalted. And Krishnara Samata Hoiti Bada Bhakta Pad. The position of devotee is higher even than the position of Krishna. That's why Krishna glorifies devotees like Uddhava. Natatame Priyatama Atmayoniya Nashankara Nacha Sankar Shanona Shriya Naivatma Ya Yatabhavan. Krishna tells Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, no one is as dear to me as you. Not Brahma, not Lord Shiva, not Shankarshan, not even the goddess of fortune, not even my own self. No one is as dear to me as you. Why? Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. Because the Lord is the devotee of his devotee. That's where his devotion is. So the devotees, they never tolerate an offense to the Lord. And the Lord never tolerates an offense to the devotee. That's how it is. And in the Bhagavatam, one very nice pastime that exemplifies this is the pastime where Duvasa Muni offends Ambarish. And the Surasan Chakra of Lord Vishnu chases Durvasa Muni all around the universe. He finally took shelter of Vishnu. And what did Vishnu say? I can't help you. You have to go back to Ambarish. Aham bhakta pradina yasvatantra iva dvija sadubir grasta ridayo bhaktayar bhakta jana priya. He said, the devotees, they have captured my heart. I am subservient to my devotees. I have no independence. This is Vishnu speaking. So what he says, what to speak of my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees, I am sold out to them. Therefore, we see in the case of Mahaprabhu, he's on his mission to deliver everyone. But then when the Vaishnava Aparadis come, then that's when he stops and he withdraws his mercy. But at those times, what happens? The devotees, they come into effect, and the devotees will try to help that person. The Lord rejects a person, the devotee will help. So it can be said, and it is said, the devotees are more merciful than even Krishna. And we know from Madhurya Kadambini that the bhakti, the power to give bhakti is given to the devotee. Krishna gives the power to give bhakti to his devotees. Why? Because he is sama. He's impartial. And bhakti is causeless. So if he gives devotion to some person and not to another, then he's broken his promise. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. I am equal to everyone. His promise is broken if he just causelessly gives devotion to someone. Therefore, it's the devotees, the Madhyamadhikari preachers, they are the ones that are giving the mercy out, you see. So going back to this Ambarish pastime, sadavo hridayam mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham madanyat tena janati naham tebyo managapi. Famous verse, Vishnu says, the devotees are my heart and I am the heart of my devotees. They know nothing but me, and therefore I know nothing but them. That relationship will never be broken. And even though Lord Chaitanya is giving the mercy out to everyone, the mercy will not go to the Vaishnava Paradi unless the Vaishnava Paradi apologizes and repents. Now here's a story, you probably know this story. One time, Prabhupada, he was with his guru, back to Siddhanta Sarasvati, and his guru ordered that a snake be killed. You know this pastime. He had a doubt. He describes it, he says, later on, I read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the sadhu takes pleasure in the killing of snakes and scorpions. You know this one. How does it go again? Modeta sadurapi vrishchika sarpahatcha. That the sadhu, Modeta, he takes pleasure in the killing of snakes and scorpions. So what is the reason for that? There is actually a reason. It's not just cruelty. It isn't cruelty. It's understood that there are some species of life are so abominable that the only way to be freed from that form of life is to be killed. So if you kill a scorpion, envious scorpion, envious snake, you kill, you're actually freeing the jiva from that
life form. Generally speaking, Prabhupada explains that if you kill any living entity, you are interfering with their natural evolution in consciousness. Therefore, they have to take birth again in that species in order to complete their term. Therefore, it's violence to kill an ant. Okay, that jiva has to now go into another ant's body and live the life of an ant again, because you've terminated it prematurely. But in the case of this snake or scorpion, very envious creatures, then they're actually liberated from that life form. So it's not a bad thing. Now, back to Vinod Thakur, it's an interesting point. He explains the difference between sin and aparad. There's one, I think it's called Vaishnav Ninda, the article. So in this article, he explains that sin is something that affects the gross and subtle body. You get reactions. But a sinful person is not prevented from advancing in spiritual life. Aparad, on the other hand, is of a deeper nature. So what is the nature of aparad? It actually stops one's ability to progress in spiritual life. So it's more severe than sin. Now, the result of aparad may be, you know, leprosy. We have two examples, at least, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there may be bodily trouble. There's also mental trouble. We know in today's society, we live in a problematic age. We live in an age, in our society of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are so many devotees who are criticizing. Maybe I do too. Anyway, and you can see the people that criticize are often very unhappy. They get mental trouble from criticism. So you get mental trouble, you get physical trouble if you're an aparadi. But you also get that from being sinful. Just any sinful activity, you'll get that as well. But a sinful person who hasn't committed aparad, they can still progress spiritually. Whereas the one who has committed aparad, it's a check. It's described in the fifth canto like the bhakti lata, the creeper, the bhakti lata is almost destroyed. It almost goes to zero, or the bank account is frozen. So this is the very great danger of aparad, which makes it more serious than sin. And of course, as we know, the way to rectify this is to apologize, be sincere in and apologize to the person that you've offended. And the word aparad, you know the word rada? Rada means worship. So aparad means you can't worship Krishna even anymore. Your ability to do it is stopped. He does not accept your worship. So it's very serious. So in the Sandarbhas, it's mentioned 10 aparads, you'll lose your taste for chanting. You commit 100 aparads, you'll engage in sinful activity. You do 1,000 aparads, you won't be able to chant anymore. You'll just leave. So these aparads, you know, we may think it's not an aparad. We may get away with it a few times, but be very careful. This is building up. These aparads build up. And you'll notice, I speak for myself. I know that sometimes I say things and later on I feel I shouldn't have said it. And I feel I've lost the taste. You know, we get this problem. We probably had the same. And sometimes it can be very subtle. Sometimes there are legitimate issues within the Gaudiya Vaishnava community and you start talking about them, but you don't do it in the right way. And you can make offense. It's very, very dangerous. So we have to be very careful. Who was here from Mangalarti? Some of you were. I just remembered, because I'm just thinking, Food for All are cooking in the kitchen. So an announcement was made this morning that it's their last Saturday. So the announcement was made that we should all give our blessings and our good wishes to Food for All. We thank them very much for all their service. And let's hope they move on to bigger things. They have a nice center in Holborn. And we need the prasad distribution in the United Kingdom to increase. So we should all give our good wishes and our thanks to all the prasad they've produced. And Food for All Ki Jai. We hope their operation at Holborn will be very great.